Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Some people may assume that same-sex behavior in the animal kingdom is unusual, but research tells a different story. Dr. Rebecca Calisi Rodriguez is the featured speaker at this month's Davis Science Cafe, and she'll be talking about celebrating gender rebels and queer pairings in the animal kingdom in connection with her book, Wild Pride. She joins us now with a preview of Wednesday's event at G Street Wonder Bar in downtown Davis at 5:30 p.m. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, for the layperson, this is like a good warm-up because you're going to be talking to a lot of lay people on Wednesday, like myself. What is neuroendocrinology and how does one get involved in that?
Well, neuro is for the brain and endocrinology is all about hormones. So neuroendocrinology is the study of hormones in the brain and how they help the brain function and how that functioning manifests in different types of behaviors.
How did you become interested in learning about the relationships and sexual behaviors among animals?
I actually went to school to be an artist, and I ended up getting a job at the Dallas Zoo, where they wanted me to paint this enormous mural of their Wilds of Africa exhibit, and it took me months and months, and during that time, I got to volunteer with a lot of the biologists that work there at the zoo, they thought I was great at doing research, so I went to get a master's, and that led to a PhD, and here I am, a professor, an accidental professor of animal behavior.
I was just going to say that, an accidental professor. Well, that was a very formative moment for you, volunteering at the zoo and it turning into a career for yourself. Yeah. Over the years that you've been doing research and looking into this, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about sex and gender and biology?
Goodness, there's so many. I would have to say that one of the biggest misconceptions is that people think that there are only two sexes, and those map nicely only onto two genders. And that's just not true. The science doesn't back that up. There is incredible diversity and fluidity in the animal kingdom, and that is actually the norm, not the exception.
The talk that you're going to be giving at the Davis Science Cafe on Wednesday, it is looking at queer relationships in the animal kingdom. It's tied to your book, of course, Wild Pride. What is this book about? What inspired you to write it?
Well, Wild Pride actually started as a gift. When my daughter came out to me, and she gave me permission to talk about the story, when she came out to me, she asked kind of nervously, is being gay natural? And I just lit up because as a professor of animal behavior, I knew the answer was a huge yes. Same-sex behavior is all over the animal kingdom. So I started digging into the scientific literature and compiling real examples. And I turned it into a cheeky, colorful little book I dedicated to her. I didn't expect much from it, really, but when I shared it online, it shot to number one in the LGBTQ+ science categories on Amazon. So I guess that's when I realized it struck a chord far beyond our family.
How has that evolved over, I guess, millennia with animals and species? And are you looking at certain species specifically, or is this really just broadly?
It's more broadly. I mean, so when you talked first about how did it evolve, I mean, do you mean same-sex behavior?
Yes.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So that's a great question. I love it, actually, when my students, I teach animal behavior at UC Davis, when they ask me this, because at first glance, it seems counterintuitive, right? Like evolution tends to favor behaviors that help an organism pass on its genes, and same-sex behavior doesn't directly do that. So why is it so common? And the answer I have is, well, same-sex behavior, it often plays other really important roles. It's not all about sex, y'all. like helping animals form social bonds or reduce conflicts, making alliances, keeping the peace, especially in species that live in complex social groups like dolphins or like us, like apes. So even if it doesn't result in reproduction right away, it definitely boosts survival and social success, which can indirectly improve reproductive chances.
Wow. When your book published, your child, they gave you the green light? It was approval, like a round of applause. What was their reaction and their response to your book, given that they inspired it to begin with?
So I'm actually a really private person. I don't really like to talk about my own sexuality, let alone my children's sexuality. And at first, when I was talking the book, I never mentioned my daughter, even though she was the inspiration for it. And she got really upset at me. She's very proud. And she said, "Mom, aren't you proud of me? And I'm the one that gave you this idea." So now with her, you know, with her permission and insistence, really, that's why I am giving more talks and reaching out more to help other kids just like her know that it is perfectly natural and normal in the world.
What do you get out of taking this research that you do outside of an academic setting and sharing it with the public? I mean, not only writing a book that shot up to, you know, the number one for people within the LGBTQ plus community, but also taking part of events like Davis Science Cafe and talking to people at a bar in downtown Davis about all of the research and work that you're doing.
I think as much as I would love to just go play in the garden with my, you know, my miniature donkeys, I think it's really important to get out there in the public because it's important to challenge our assumptions in the best way. Learning that nature is full of sexual diversity helps expand our understanding of what's normal. And I'm doing the air quotes right now for normal. That's such a funny word. And that matters, especially for young people who might be wondering if and how they fit in.
Has anyone given you some pushback or reacted negatively to the work that you do?
Oh, yeah. So mention queer animals and suddenly everyone's a biologist and a moral philosopher. I've been called dangerous, or even my favorite is a threat to Western civilization, which honestly, iconic. But seriously, I ignore the hate. I won't debate someone's right to exist or the basic biology that backs it up. I'm not here to coddle ignorance, but I am here to spark curiosity, because once people see how wild and queer and wondrous nature really is, it gets a lot harder to cling to small ideas. And I mean, come on, if your worldview is threatened by a pair of lesbian seagulls, I mean, the problem isn't the birds. It's maybe your window is too small to see the whole sky.
How do you go into researching or even discovering that lesbian seagulls exist?
This was all when I started to come up with the scientific literature examples for my daughter of the different animals that show queer behaviors. So it's kind of fun because this is not actually my specialty, right? I'm a neuroendocrinologist that studies animal behavior, sure, but I never went into the specifically studying queer animal behavior. So it's fun because as I'm researching it, I'm writing about it and talking about it, and I'm exploring that with my readers and my listeners. And that's really the fun part because we're on this journey together.
So you're observing the behavior of them, of course, in the wild, and then through your research are realizing that is there, I don't know how to say it, for lack of a better word, like romantic behavior attached to this for you to determine that it's queer behavior? How do you come to that determination?
Yeah, that's a funny one. So Wild Pride is a book, again, that I wrote for my child. So it's very family friendly. And in fact, we don't really talk about sex. We talk about animals, quote unquote, doing it. Okay. And then a parent that's reading that with their kid, they can decide how deeply they want to go into what doing it means. But the question was, what was it again?
Oh, I guess if for the example of the two seagulls, you know, for you to determine that queer behavior
is taking
place, is there like romance involved, or I guess for lack of a better, how do you come to that determination?
That's a great question. So I don't know how specific I can get here on radio, but for the examples that I gave in my book, that was specifically when two animals of the same sex were engaging in copulatory behavior. So behavior that would mimic what they would do to reproduce with the opposite sex. So that's how I defined it, because you can't really ask an animal, like, are you in a romantic mood?
Right.
You know, do you love him?
Are they in the friend zone?
Yeah. So it has to be what we can observe. And I don't want to go into details. So there's a lot of literature out there, and I link to it in my book, Wild Pride, the actual scientific studies that will give you an explicit, you know, description of exactly what sexual behaviors are being talked about.
Is there still more that you're looking to discover and uncover when it comes to the behaviors and same-sex behaviors among a variety of species in the animal kingdom?
In fact, after I published this little book, Wild Pride, I got picked up by a fancy agent, and now I have a new book that is currently, this week, it's gone to auction. I'm learning all these terms because even though I've written over like 75 different scientific and public opinion articles, this is kind of my first venture into writing books. So this new book proposal that I have out that's being auctioned right now because multiple publishing houses are interested, this will be a more complex but still fun exploration of sexual behavior and fluidity across the animal kingdom. And this was also inspired by my kiddo, who asked me if there was such a thing as trans animals. And you can't ask an animal how it identifies. So saying trans animal isn't really correct. But my goal was to meet readers where they are and show them some cool facts, some cool science, and invite them to see the natural world and maybe even themselves through a more expansive, awe-filled lens. So look out for that. It's going to be another year, or else I'd be talking specifically about it.
And for those that want to buy your current book, I understand there's a special way that you're giving back during Pride Month.
Yeah. So I think it's very important to donate my proceeds, especially during Pride Month, to the Trevor Project, which is a leading organization in supporting LGBTQ plus folks. And that is where all my proceeds from sales during Pride Month are going, both at the Science Cafe, where I'm giving this talk, and also online. And it's available at many different, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's available. Just Google it. And it's at a lot of places online.
And we have a link on our Insight page.
Oh, thanks.
Rebecca, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a great event on Wednesday. I think you're going to get lots of questions.
I look forward to it, I think.
Just the tip of the iceberg for this conversation. Yeah. Dr. Rebecca Calisi-Rodriguez is the featured speaker at this month's Davis Science Cafe, and she'll be talking about celebrating gender rebels and queer pairings in the animal kingdom in connection with her book, Wild Pride, A Colorful Celebration of Same-Sex Relationships in the Animal Kingdom. The talk will be held Wednesday at G Street Wonder Bar in downtown Davis at 5:30 p.m. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests as well as the events that we talked about at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. And if you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.